From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
And so God is saying, make sure that you learn the secret of contentment. You see, you can crave something so much that you take shortcuts. We want something so bad we compromise our faith, we compromise our morals just to get it. And then you just fast forward that about 5 years down the road and see how that has corroded and tarnished so much of your soul. You cannot take shortcuts.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon.
Yesterday, Pastor Wayne began a message entitled, The Power of Contentment, where we learned that whatever area of your life you're dissatisfied with, that's where Satan will tempt you. But God wants to use that dissatisfaction to drive us closer to Him. Let's back the tape up just a minute or two and pick up where we left off. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, The Power of Contentment.
I remember we were living in Hilo and we were paying $40 a month for rubbish pickup. And I said, oh, that's too much, honey. I said, after a year, that's $500 we're paying just to have them take our rubbish away. I said, I'm just going to look for something else. Well, I was driving down the street one day and there was a pickup, old beat up pickup for $500. And I thought, that's a year of trash pickup right there. That's my trash pickup. If I just park that in the backyard, throw my rubbish in it, I can drive this thing to the dump, which is free in Hilo, dump it for free, and then I'd have a pickup to drive around the rest of the time. I thought, ooh, I am so brilliant. Now, there's a few characteristics of this pickup you need to be aware of. The first is if you open the driver's door all the way, it fell off. It falls off. So you have to only open it 75% of the way. And then when you close it, you have to lift it up and then it hooks. I'm like, it's all right. I thought, not bad. And then the guy said another thing too is there's a couple of holes in the floorboard, 2 4-inch holes. One by the driver's side and one on the passenger side. And I thought, well, that's not bad. It's air conditioning during the summer. And then in the winter, we put, you know, cardboard over it when it rained, rather. And the cool thing was my kids loved it because I'd say, watch this. And I'd take the cardboard off and drive over the white lines. And you could see the white line going. So, wow, that's so cool. And they could eat apples and throw the core right through the floor. And no one knew. It was so neat. And so every time we got into that pickup, we would say, isn't this a cool pickup? Of course it wasn't, but it was developing something in us. And now God has us in a nicer car and a little bigger house. But you know, if we hadn't developed contentment there, we still wouldn't be content today. We'd want more. You've got to start with small things, because contentment isn't circumstances, it's your spirit. There was a man moving from a lower village to a mountain village. He was disenchanted with his surroundings and he was taking his 2-mile trek to move when he met this woman walking from that village down the same road. And he stopped her and he said, excuse me, what kind of people live in the village where you came from? And the lady said, well, let me ask you a question. What kind of people lived in the village from where you came from? He said, they're terrible. That's why I'm leaving. They always gossip. They're mean. They're disrespectful. That's why I'm leaving. Oh, saddened look came to her face. She said, you will find the people in the mountain village the same thing. Oh, the man, whoof, and he walked off. A few minutes later, another man came coming from the same village, moving to the mountain village, stopped the woman and said, excuse me, ma'am, what kind of people live in that village in the mountain? She said, oh, I live there. Oh, yeah. So the man said, what kind of people live there? She said, well, it depends what kind of people lived in the village from where you are coming from. He said, oh, I hate to leave them. They're wonderful people, sweet as ever. They're wonderful. She smiled and she said, the people in that mountain village are the same kind of people. You see, contentment isn't the circumstances, it's your spirit. And so take a look at your notes, and there's a few examples of that. Would you write in under number one, not just jealousy, which is the art of counting your neighbor's blessings, but would you write in the second bullet, true wealth? True wealth is not having more, it's desiring less. True wealth. I was in the Philippines up in the Ilocos Norte area, and there were some kids that had taken some rags, kept tying them together until they made a ball of rags about this much, and they were playing soccer with it, this ball of rags, and they were just having fun, and the parents were there on the side eating on this little mat, and they were just having a blast. And I was traveling with a friend, and he said, look how poor those kids are. They're so poor. They don't even have a soccer ball. We have to raise some money and get them stuff here. They're so poor. And I looked at him and I said, who said they're poor? They don't ask them if they're poor. They're wealthy. Look at their families. Look at their laughter. Look at their fellowship. Look at their relationship. They're having a blast. They're not poor. We are. We have soccer balls and we still fight with one another. They have rags and they're laughing. Which one of us are wealthier? Who told them that they're poor? We are the ones that tell them that they're poor. See, true wealth is not having more, it's desiring less, because contentment is something of your spirit. And would you read with me the scripture 106:15 in Psalms? Would you read that? Go. He gave them what they craved, but sent leanness to their souls. One man said to me, Wayne, there's two tragedies in life. One is to not be able to get what you crave, and the other is when you get it. You see, you can crave something so much that you take shortcuts. And by the way, we live in a society that celebrates shortcuts. Be very careful. We want something so bad, we compromise our faith, we compromise our morals just to get it. And then you just fast forward that about 5 years down the road and see how that has corroded and tarnished so much of your soul. You cannot take shortcuts. And so God is saying, make sure that you learn the secret of contentment. Well, what is that? Well, right in the very last one there, in that bullet on your first page, contentment is not having what you want, it is wanting what you have. Let me say that again, very important. Contentment isn't having what you want, it's wanting what you have. Because if you don't want what you have, you'll get more and more, and it'll be junk around your house. You'll have so much stuff in storage and in your house, and you're still not content. You can hoard and still not be content. Why? Because contentment is not having what you want, it's wanting what you have. So the first step is learn contentment. And if you'll turn your notes over, the second is then learn to mark out God as the source of your blessing. Learn to mark out God as the source of your blessings. Because if you think it's you that got it, then you think I'm invincible because I've got a string of three successes, and you're going to want more and more and more, and then it's going to deplete you and destroy you. But when you learn to mark out God as a source of your blessings, then you're always listening to Him. You're drawn to Him. And He then balances you and your desires. You've got to mark God out. Otherwise, you'll erase God. It's like the story of the guy that had a job interview, and he was driving around the block looking for a parking spot, and there was none to be had. And by the way, do you know that when you live in Honolulu, you have to pray for parking? You have to pray. And so he's going around and he can't find a parking space, and he's going to be late, and he cries to God. He says, God, If you'll open up a parking spot for me, I'll quit cussing, quit drinking, quit yelling at my wife, and I'll leave and go to church. All of a sudden, a person leaves, and it opens up a parking spot right in front of him. And he looks, and he says, oh, God, hold on. Cancel all of that. One just came open. Thank you. Mark God out as a source of your blessing. And I'm going to tell you why it's so important. Because if you stop marking God out as the source of your blessing, then you start to get a mutated perspective of yourself. And we start to think that we're the epicenter of the world, God's gift to everybody. And you start seeing things with an ego-laced decision-making process. And it becomes all about us. And after a while, you don't love Jesus. You start to love yourself off of Jesus. I say that about cats. There's cat Christians. You know how a cat rubs himself on your leg? And people go, oh, look, that cat loves you. That cat doesn't love you. It's loving itself off your leg. And if we don't mark God out as a source of our blessings, we'll start to love ourselves off of God. God bless me. God give me. God, oh, thank you, God. All you're saying is, thank you for serving me. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for me. And we don't love God. We love ourselves off of God. And we start to develop a theology of me off of God. And your thinking goes funny. That's exactly what Romans 1 says. When we stop giving thanks to God, you start thinking funny. Let's read the scripture. Go. For even though they knew God, they did not give him thanks as God, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. See, even though they knew God, they didn't give him thanks as God. And what was the result? They became futile in the way they saw life, and it became darkened in their thinking. I am convinced that God is more concerned about us being grateful than just about anything else. Because if we lose gratefulness, our minds go funny. We start loving ourselves off of God. We start developing a lifestyle that's so different and weird, but we can't even see it because our minds have become darkened. So God is more concerned about us being content and grateful than just about anything else. Well, you say, well, how do we get to that? What can we do? Here's the key to all of it. And would you write it down? Increase the value of relationships. Because that's the key to discontent. I'm not satisfied with my relationship with my wife. I'm not satisfied with my relationship at work. I'm not satisfied with my relationships here. And so then people become expendable. And when my relationship with people decreases, my need for materialism increases. Because I need more security, more prominence. I need to feel better about whom? Myself. But if you increase the value of relationships, everything starts to go back to normal. The things balance out. If I am satisfied with what God has given to me and my family, oh, is there nicer stuff? Sure, but I've learned the secret of being content. As soon as that happens, temptations diminish because of the value of relationships. Watch this. Watch when your relationship goes bad at home. Watch how everything starts to pull you over here. But if I increase relationships, I don't need a bunch of stuff because I just love being with people. When you love being with people, you don't need a lot of accoutrements and extras. You just love being with that person. But if you don't like that person, I need a lot of stuff to keep me going. But if you begin to increase the value of relationships, it balances everything in your life. Here was Jesus' last prayer, final prayer. It's in your notes, but basically he said this, Father, even as we are one, even as you are one in me and I am one in you, I pray that the church would be one, that they would be perfected in unity. Why? So that the world will believe that you sent me. You see, by the way that we love one another and the relationships that are so strong, people just want to be a part of the kingdom. When they see us loving each other and supporting each other and encouraging one another, it's like they'll line up outside saying, can I get into your family? But if we hate each other and we're throwing each other under the bus and bickering about one another on the sides of our mouth, people hear that and say, there ain't no way I'm going to join this group. It's about relationships. And when people see how precious that is, they want to be a part of that. In fact, relationships are so valuable to Jesus that the greatest gift and most expensive paid by his blood was the gift of forgiveness. Why? So we can keep relationships strong. John Wesley said it this way, and you can write it in your notes. I now value all things only by the price it shall have in eternity. How much is it going to be worth in eternity? This trinket or this thing here? Not much. That's how much it's really worth. And what about a relationship? Well, that person messed me up. He's done. No. How much is a relationship worth in heaven? The blood of Christ. Yeah, that's how much it should be worth here. And when you start to value things the way heaven does, everything balances out. If you've never begun your relationship with Christ, please do that today. Because Paul says, I can do all things through whom? Through Christ. If you don't have Christ in you, you won't understand contentment. You'll always be needing more. And so that last line there is for those, if you've not known Christ, begin is the word, your relationship. And if you know Christ, begin and live daily your relationship with Christ. I want to give you an opportunity in just a moment to open your heart to Christ if you never have. Because that's the most important relationship of all. And then he will give you the power to learn to be content. And then he'll give you the power to increase relationships. And he'll teach us how to close the door on the enemy as we mark God out as the source of our blessings. Let me finish with this story. His name was Tertullian. George is his name. That's a lot easier. George was a Roman guy. And actually as Tertullian, he was a historian, secular at first, until he became a Christian. He tells about in the Colosseum when the Christians would come for sport of the emperor. And they would let a lion out to maul this group of huddled Christians, and all the people would jeer with their thumbs downward. And when they would vote with their thumbs, they would let a lion out, and the lion would begin to pounce towards this huddled group of Christians on one end of the field. Seeing the lion coming, one of the men would go from the back of the huddled group and put the others behind him and then start walking towards the lion to invite the mauling of the lion. He would go down and the people would yell again with thumbs down, and they would let another lion out. And another man would come from behind this huddled group of Christians, and he would come out and he would invite the mauling of the lion while the others were kept safe. And the people would yell again, and another one would come out and invite the mauling of the lion. And then another one, and this time a mother would come out from the front and keep her children back, and they'd be crying. She'd say, "Stay back, stay back." And she would motion to the lion to distract him, and she would take the mauling of the lion. And little by little, the jeers would subside, and the cries would begin to diminish, and the hate-filled jeering, cackling of the crowd went to a numb silence until there was none left. And one by one, they would leave the Colosseum in silence. And this man's words, Tertullian's words, are still with us today. Later, he would come to Christ, but he left these words: "See how they love one another." And that's what changed his heart. You see, when we start to value relationships, everything just doesn't have its lure anymore. Learn the secret of contentment. Because when you do, the lures of the devil start to cease, and you're free. Mark God out as a source of your blessings. It'll help you to think so much better. Increase the values of relationships. Because when you do, everything will come back into balance, and people will line up to come to be a part of the kingdom of God. My prayer for New Hope Chapter 2 is that we'll be a people of deep relationships, that will honor God, be content wherever He has us, and we will love one another. That's all God needs to start a revival. That's what we want. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. If you've never received Christ, I want to give you that opportunity. So if you would bow your heads. If you're here and you say, "Wayne, I need that relationship with Christ. Jesus, come into my heart, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, not on my own. God, you know I need another chance. I need forgiveness of sins. Will you come into my heart? Be my Savior. Today's the day." And if that's you, raise a hand right now. Let them know. Go ahead. Just say, "Yep, God, that's me. I receive you." Okay. Yeah. "Lord, I receive you." "You too." "Yep, you too." Okay, on the side. Yep. Yep. Yep, I see that. Okay, in the back. Yeah. "You too, sister." Yep. If this is the first time you're receiving Christ, please get a yes packet. Ushers will have them. Just ask for one. Could I have a yes packet? It's free of charge. Has a Bible in it and some follow-up material. You may be here and you say, "Wayne, I'm a Christian, but I get so discontent and dissatisfied." Please help me. If that's you, raise a hand. Say, "God, would you help me? Would you help me?" Yeah. And He'll teach you the secret of contentment. Pray this after me, would you? Out loud. Heavenly Father, please teach me the spirit of contentment. And I open my heart to receive you as Lord and Savior. Please forgive me and give me a new beginning. And I say this so everybody hears, so you hear me, so I hear myself, and the devil hears. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name. And Lord, that's a cry of our heart. We say, "Thank you." We are content. We are content to walk with you wherever you lead. Teach us, Lord, the secret of contentment. We will mark you out as a source of our every blessing, and help us to be people who love one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, welcome these who said yes to Jesus.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled "The Power of Contentment" by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. Now for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.